Welcome to the Mastering Blood Sugar Podcast. This is episode number 29, Diabetes Insights with Dr. Brian Mole. My name is Dr. Brian Mole, the diabetes coach, certified and master licensed diabetes educator, and IFM certified functional medicine practitioner. Each week on the Mastering Blood Sugar Podcast, I bring you an inspiring health or lifestyle expert to help you learn to boost your metabolism, lose weight, and master your blood sugar with natural drug-free strategies. Thanks for being here with me today, and let's get started. All right, everyone, welcome back to the Mastering Blood Sugar Podcast. This is your host, the diabetes coach, Dr. Brian Mole. In today's episode of Diabetes Insights, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the concept of time-restricted eating or time-restricted feeding and looking at several research papers which describe and outline many of the benefits of this intermittent fasting strategy. Before we dive in today, I want to remind you to make sure you are subscribed to the Mastering Blood Sugar Podcast. Go to iTunes or Google Play or Stitcher or TuneIn or wherever you listen to this podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, I'd really appreciate if you could leave me a 5-star review and a positive comment telling me what you love about the podcast. Also, share this with your family or friends. Send them an email, post it onto Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite social media account, and let people know about the Mastering Blood Sugar Podcast and send them our way so we can help more people. All right, thanks for doing that, and enjoy this episode of Diabetes Insights. All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Dr. Brian Mole, the diabetes coach, back with another episode of Diabetes Insights with Dr. Brian Mole. And today we're going to be talking about the many benefits of time-restricted eating or time-restricted feeding. I have several papers to go through with you, and we're going to talk about the metabolic health benefits of eating in a restricted time window. Now, we all have a time window that we eat in, of course. We have to sleep, and for some people, that might be a 16-hour window, a 14-hour window, a 12-hour window. Technically, time-restricted eating or feeding means that we are restricting the window to less than 12 hours. So a 10-hour eating window would be a version of time-restricted eating. So how does that look practically? Well, if you start eating at 8 a.m., and you finish eating at 8 p.m., that would be a 12-hour eating window. If you start eating at 10 a.m. and finish at 8, or you start at 8 and finish at 6, those would be 10-hour eating windows. The papers I'm going to review today, which cover most of the current research on time-restricted feeding, used anywhere between a 6 and 10-hour eating window. And some of them were late time-restricted feeding, so like a noon to 6 or noon to 8. Others were early time-restricted feeding, something like an 8 a.m. to 2 p.m., 4 p.m., or even 5 p.m. And as you're going to see, there's various benefits depending on the strategy that you want to employ. Now, what's the difference between time-restricted eating and feeding and intermittent fasting? Well, intermittent fasting just refers to eating, fasting. Technically, we all do that every day, but again, there's an assumption that this is going to go outside our normal behavior pattern if we're going to employ it therapeutically. So intermittent fasting could be a 24-hour fast. It could be a 14 or 18-hour fast. It could be a 36 or 40-hour fast, followed by a period of eating, and then another fast, and then another period of eating, so on and so forth. So that's intermittent fasting. Time-restricted eating is typically thought of within a 24-hour day. So as I mentioned in the beginning, you can have a 10-hour eating window, 8-hour, 6-hour, 4-hour, even a 1-hour eating window, and those would all be considered different strategies for time-restricted eating or time-restricted feeding. Okay, with that said, let's dive into the research. So this first paper I want to talk about comes from iScience, June of 2020. So it's a very recent paper. And it's titled Time-Restricted Eating Benefits, Mechanisms, and Challenges in Translation. And they open the introduction with this. Lifestyle-induced metabolic diseases, such as type 2 diabetes and cardiovascular disease, are often associated with obesity, reductions in physical activity, and increased consumption of energy-dense foods. Accumulating evidence suggests that when we eat may be another contributing factor to chronic disease progression. Lengthened daily eating patterns in excess of 14 hours per day were evident in studies conducted in the USA and India, with less than 25% of caloric intake occurring prior to 1 p.m. Time-restricted eating is a novel dietary tool that recommends individuals shorten the duration of the daily eating window without altering calorie intake or diet quality. TRE restores circadian rhythms and imparts pleiotropic metabolic benefits, including reduction in body weight and fat mass, improved glucose tolerance, and reduces blood pressure in humans, particularly in those with overweight or obesity. Pleiotropic, by the way, just means that it has a wide variety of benefits affecting various systems and organs. The authors summarize their findings here in the abstract, saying, quote, eating out of phase with daily circadian rhythms induces metabolic desynchrony in peripheral metabolic organs and may increase chronic disease risk. Time-restricted eating is a dietary approach that consolidates all calorie intake to 6 to 10 hour periods during the active phase of the day without necessarily altering diet quality and quantity. TRE reduces body weight, improves glucose tolerance, protects from hepatosteatosis, that's an advanced form of fatty liver disease, increases metabolic flexibility, reduces atherogenic lipids and blood pressure, and improves gut function and cardiometabolic health in preclinical studies. So that's a pretty good way to set up what we're going to be talking about here over the next few minutes, because I think they do a good job of summarizing many of the benefits of time-restricted eating, as well as defining exactly what it is. One scientist who is focusing a lot of time and energy and research on fasting, intermittent fasting, and time-restricted feeding is Dr. Sachin Panda at the Salk Institute for Biological Studies in La Jolla, California. He published a study in 2017 in the Journal of Physiology called Time-Restricted Feeding for Prevention and Treatment of Cardiometabolic Disorders, where the authors state, quote, we discovered that imposing a time-restricted feeding regimen in which all caloric intake occurs consistently within less than 12 hours every day exerts many cardiometabolic benefits. Time-restricted feeding prevents excessive body weight gain, improves sleep, and attenuates age and diet-induced deterioration in cardiac performance. Another study that he co-authored in Cell Metabolism in January of 2020 looked at subjects with a 10-hour eating window. So that's 14 hours of daily fasting. And they found that 10-hour time-restricted eating in metabolic syndrome promotes weight loss, reduces waist circumference, percentage of body fat and visceral fat, lowers blood pressure, reduces atherogenic lipids, and reduced hemoglobin A1C scores. This study was done particularly to see the benefits for patients with metabolic syndrome. So they open the introduction stating, features of metabolic syndrome include abdominal obesity, elevated blood pressure, insulin resistance, a pro-inflammatory and pro-thrombotic state, and atherogenic dyslipidemia, including high triglycerides, high apolipoprotein B, high LDL particles, and low HDL particles. The first line of therapy, they stated, for metabolic syndrome is aggressive diet and lifestyle interventions, reducing caloric intake, adopting a healthy diet, and increasing physical activity. However, these approaches are often insufficient to effectively manage the disease. The disease gradually worsens, and patients are commonly put on medications to treat their symptoms. And I think we all know that that is an understatement. If it's used for first-line therapy, the diet and lifestyle approach is oftentimes ineffective and most of the time illogical. Typically, it's a high-carbohydrate diet anyway. Hence, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes, type 2 diabetes progresses, and in very short order, people are typically put on medications. So kudos to Dr. Panda and his colleagues for recognizing that and for studying some alternatives, including time-restricted feeding. So he says in the conclusion of this paper, importantly, quote, "Importantly, we observe significant decreases in systolic and diastolic blood pressure, total cholesterol, LDL, and non-HDL particles, and these findings occurred without increased physical activity, and there was no significant correlation with changes in weight. So the 10-hour eating window was enough to make these changes independent of weight or physical activity." Pretty cool. They stated, quote, "Among participants with elevated fasting blood glucose or hemoglobin A1C, we also observed a significant reduction in hemoglobin A1C. In this population at high risk for cardiovascular disease, a significant reduction in atherogenic lipids, blood pressure, and blood glucose on top of medical therapy has important clinical implications." All right, another study from 2020, also co-authored by Sachin Panda with several other authors, comes from Obesity Journal, and it's called Time-Restricted Eating: Effects on Body Composition and Metabolic Measures in Humans with Overweight. The results of this study showed, quote, "The time-restricted eating group significantly reduced the eating window compared with the non-TRE group. And compared with non-TRE, time-restricted eating decreased the number of eating occasions, weight, lean mass," which is interesting. We'll circle back and talk about that, "and visceral fat." So I like the sound of all of that, except for the lean mass. That throws up a little bit of a question mark. So let's dig a little deeper into this study. In this study, the participants were prescribed an 8-hour eating window. So that's 16 hours of fasting. It was mostly women, 17 women and 3 men, aged 45 on average with a BMI of 34.1, so obese. They said in the TRE group, the self-defined eating window generally started at about 10:40 a.m. and ended at about 6:40 p.m., with the earliest being 9 to 5 and the latest being noon to 8. In the results section, compared with the non-TRE group, the time-restricted feeding group lost body weight, body fat, visceral fat, and lean mass. So this comes up again here. They explained the lean mass loss in the TRE group was from the legs, and it was significant. They go on to say that the TRE group did not lose significant lean mass from the trunk or arms. So that's interesting. In this particular group of mostly women, they lost body fat, visceral fat, overall body weight, and also some lean body mass from the legs. They also stated that the TRE group significantly lowered fasting glucose and fasting triglyceride levels, and they increased the amount of time that their glucose level was within the target range. So with the loss of body mass there, we may want to try to counteract that with increased protein consumption, perhaps, or some resistance training. It'd be interesting to look a little bit more closely at exactly what they were eating during their 8-hour eating window. All right, now these next three papers, the last three papers I'm going to review today, decided to look more closely at when the eating window was applied and used early time-restricted feeding rather than mid or late time-restricted feeding. So they push the eating window up earlier in the day to try to match the natural circadian rhythm of hormones. This was published in the journal Nutrients in 2019, and the authors state in the introduction, intermittent fasting has been found to improve cardiometabolic health, reduce cancer incidence, slow tumor growth, regenerate organs by increasing stem cell production, and increase lifespan. Wow. In humans, data on intermittent fasting is limited, but suggests that it decreases body weight, insulin levels, blood pressure, inflammation, and appetite, and that it improves insulin sensitivity and lipid profiles. If only they could find a drug that would do all that, it would be the biggest blockbuster drug in history. They continued, while the benefits of some types of intermittent fasting may stem mostly or entirely from energy restriction, one form of intermittent fasting, called time-restricted feeding, has demonstrated benefits independent of energy restriction in both animals and humans. So what did they do here? Well, from the abstract, they state that 11 overweight adults participated in a four-day randomized crossover study where they ate between 8 a.m. and 2 p.m., defined as early time-restricted feeding. And what happened? The early time-restricted feeding group decreased mean 24-hour glucose levels and glycemic excursions. That's periods where the glucose levels are outside of the target range. Also, in the morning before breakfast, early time-restricted feeding increased blood ketones and upregulated the autophagy gene, while in the evening it tended to increase BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and increase the expression of mTOR, a major nutrient-sensing protein that regulates cell growth. From their conclusion, our data suggests, quote, that early time-restricted feeding improves several facets of health through both circadian and fasting-related mechanisms. It improves glycemic control by lowering 24-hour glucose levels and reducing It improves glycemic control by lowering 24-hour glucose levels, reducing glycemic excursions, and potentially by improving insulin signaling. This pattern also increases ketone levels in the morning, improves the amplitude of the cortisol rhythm, and favorably affects hormones and genes related to longevity and autophagy, such as BDNF, SIRT1, and LC3A. These important findings demonstrate that early time-restricted feeding improves cardiometabolic health, alters diurnal rhythms, and may have anti-aging effects. Okay, so that's pretty cool. So it actually increased autophagy in the morning at the end of the fast, and at the end of the eating period, there was an increase in mTOR. So essentially, you're flipping on and off the aging and metabolic switch. Turning on mTOR increases lean mass production, muscle protein synthesis, growth, and anabolism, while autophagy is more about catabolic breakdown and protein recycling. So interesting that you've got expressions of both on either end of that eating window. Okay, this next paper also comes from the journal Obesity. In 2019, early time-restricted feeding reduces appetite and increases fat oxidation, but does not affect energy expenditure in humans. They were looking at the circadian rhythm of hormones, and they said many of these processes, including increased insulin sensitivity and the thermic effect of food, peak in the morning or around noontime. Eating in sync with circadian rhythms by eating early in the day appears to reduce body weight and improve metabolic health. In this study, they found that early time-restricted feeding decreased mean ghrelin levels, that's the hunger hormone, made hunger more even-keeled, and tended to increase fullness and decrease the desire to eat. Early time-restricted feeding also increased metabolic flexibility and decrease the 24-hour non-protein respiratory quotient. Conclusion, Meal timing interventions facilitate weight loss primarily by decreasing appetite rather than by increasing energy expenditure. Early time restricted feeding may also increase fat loss by increasing fat oxidation. And one more paper here from Cell Metabolism. Early time restricted feeding improves insulin sensitivity, blood pressure, and oxidative stress even without weight loss in men with prediabetes. This is from 2018, and the study authors found early time restricted feeding increases insulin sensitivity, also improves beta cell function, and lowers blood pressure and oxidative stress. Early time restricted feeding also reduced the desire to eat in the evening, which may facilitate weight loss. They say in the introduction that data from certain trials suggests that intermittent fasting can reduce body weight or body fat, improve insulin sensitivity, reduce glucose and/or insulin levels, lower blood pressure, improve lipid profiles, and reduce markers of inflammation and oxidative stress. They say that glucose, lipid, and energy metabolism are all regulated by the circadian rhythm, which upregulates them at some times of day and downregulates them at others. For instance, in humans, insulin sensitivity, beta cell responsiveness, and the thermic effect of food are all higher in the morning than in the afternoon or evening, suggesting that human metabolism is optimized for food intake in the morning. Interesting. They cite several studies here and say, indeed, studies in humans show that eating in alignment with circadian rhythms and metabolism by increasing food intake at breakfast time and by reducing it at dinner time improves glycemic control, weight loss, and lipid levels, and also reduces hunger. And again, they term this early time-restricted feeding. In this study, they used a 6-hour daily eating window with dinner before 3 p.m. And they found in the conclusion, quote, 5 weeks of early time restricted feeding improved insulin levels, insulin sensitivity, beta cell responsiveness, blood pressure, and oxidative stress levels in men with prediabetes, even though food intake was matched to the control arm and no weight loss occurred. So they purposely made sure that these men did not lose weight. They wanted to see the effects just of the restricted eating window. And I have to say, the results were pretty impressive. They say that this indicates, quote, that early time-restricted feeding is an efficacious strategy for treating both prediabetes and likely also prehypertension. We speculate that by virtue of combining daily intermittent fasting and eating in alignment with circadian rhythms in metabolism will prove to be a particularly efficacious form of intermittent fasting. All right, so what did we learn from all of that? Well, certainly we learned that intermittent fasting is a powerful metabolic health strategy. We learned that time-restricted feeding, whether it's early, mid, or late time-restricted feeding, all seem to have powerful benefits. The last three studies showed that the benefits seem to be even more powerful in early time-restricted feeding, where you're eating within a 6-hour eating window, starting early in the day and finishing by 3 p.m. I'll share a little bit of my own experience with my clients. I've used this strategy, early time-restricted feeding, for many people who have the dawn phenomenon, where their blood sugar seems to spike early in the morning. And I have found that if they start fasting at around 2 or 3 or even 4 p.m., and don't eat again until they wake up, usually within 1 hour of waking, and start their eating window then, that it does seem to reduce the morning spike in blood sugar. I think that it leads to less insulin resistance in the liver in the morning if you've been fasting. And because you naturally have increased insulin sensitivity, it helps to counteract the effects of those glucocanoregulatory hormones like cortisol and adrenaline, which are released early in the morning as you're approaching waking time. So we've had a lot of success with that strategy, although I will say that socially, it's not the most convenient way to do time-restricted feeding. And I don't think it's essential. We've had a lot of people benefit from doing mid or late time-restricted feeding as well. I would definitely not push your meal past 8 p.m. I think that should be the absolute latest, but you could do noon to 8 or noon to 6 as a six-hour eating window of late time-restricted eating or time-restricted feeding. All right, so there you have it. Very, very powerful benefits, insulin sensitization, reductions in insulin levels, improvements in glucose, hemoglobin A1C, weight loss, fat loss, visceral fat loss, reductions in lipids, reduction in LDL, triglycerides, ApoB, and other atherogenic particles, reductions in inflammation, and reductions in oxidative stress markers. So powerful benefits to doing some intermittent fasting, particularly time-restricted eating or time-restricted feeding. So if you're not doing this, you might want to consider implementing this into your blood sugar strategy. Okay, guys, well, I hope you found that helpful and interesting. This is Dr. Brian Mole, the diabetes coach. Thanks for listening to the Mastering Blood Sugar podcast and Diabetes Insights. I'll be back soon with another episode. All right, everyone. Well, I hope you really enjoyed that episode of Diabetes Insights. Just a reminder, please subscribe to the Mastering Blood Sugar podcast over at iTunes or Google Play. Check out my YouTube channel for videos of some of my expert guests from the Mastering Blood Sugar interview episodes. And remember, you can always learn more about me over at my website, which is drmoll.com. That's drmoll.com. Lastly, I want to encourage you, if you're interested in supplements, to visit my Sweet Life Nutritionals professional supplement site. We've created some exclusive supplement blends for blood sugar control and metabolic health, as well as liver-supported detoxification. And I've hand-selected the very best supplements to support blood sugar and metabolic health. You can learn more about that over at sweetlifenutritionals.com. All right. As always, everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Mastering Blood Sugar podcast. I'll be back real soon with another episode. In the meantime, this is Dr. Brian Mole, the diabetes coach. Remember to keep climbing and to never give up.